Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro, and you wonder, can all this pent-up demand go bust? I'm going to show you some actual evidence of that. We've got a fan's take on when the CPI is going to peak. I think you're going to enjoy that. We've got economic data. We've got today's auction. And are bonds looking a little bullish? Oh, yes, I think we can wear the crown for that. We'll save that for last. Let's get right into this headline topic of how can this pent-up demand go bust? And I think, you know, there's been this big narrative, this view that everyone's strapped at home and they're going to run out and get, you know, 50 haircuts, go on 30 vacations, buy 20 cars. I mean, they're just dying to spend money. And I don't think people really understand what happens, you know, or what the goal of stimulus and lower interest rates is. And it's to pull demand forward. So when you give people direct fiscal stimulus in the form of either a check, a tax cut, or, you know, if the Federal Reserve is trying to lower interest rates, what it does is trying to pull demand forward. So let me give you, you know, an example of that. Let's say that you buy a car every 5 years, and maybe you and there's a whole bunch of other people that are in that same 5 year cycle. In year four, you're still not there, but in year four, the manufacturers are really wanting to sell some cars, so they, you know, big promotions, big deals, you know, this is the best it's ever going to get. And some of those people that are on that 5 year cycle turn their car in a year early. And so, you know, all of a sudden the numbers look at, wow, look at all these car sales, you know, boom, it's looking great. And then what happens in that fifth year, you know, where does all the demand go? Well, you pulled it forward. And that's one of the challenges here. And are we actually seeing some of this in the data? Well, we have to take a look at Netflix's earnings because, yeah, we are. So what happened to Netflix? Now, I'm pulling this off of an article that ran yesterday on Zero Hedge. I know many of you read that, Zero Hedge. But let's take a look at, you know, where this pent-up demand was and where it's going. So you see quarter one streaming paid net change was up almost 4 million, a huge miss against over 6 million expectation. Who cares? But look at this, and down from 15.8 million a year ago. So what did we find out? That, you know, of course we would know this if you follow Netflix's earnings, that a year ago they brought in 15.8 million subscribers. Now, was that what Netflix expected at the time? Had we not gone into the pandemic, was Netflix expecting to bring on nearly 16 million subscribers? No. Now, maybe in the years that followed, you know, they're expecting, hey, we're bringing on, you know, X number of million subscribers per quarter, per year. And yes, we are going to get that 15, 16 million. Well, what happened, I want you to see, is it pulling demand forward? So people that were not going to subscribe, or maybe were thinking about it, they got pulled forward because they were stuck at home. Now look, right below here, it says Netflix sees Q2 streaming paid net change up only a million against huge miss to expectations. Now, they don't know because, we're not at the end of the second quarter, but that's a big drop versus expectations of over 4 million because effectively Netflix is saying, look, like we went out there and got all these people that we thought were going to sign up in the next year, two, maybe even three, and we pulled them forward. And you're going to start to see this I want you to look for this in the earnings reports. Not all companies will do projections, but those that do, look to see if they're like Netflix, where they're saying, look, we think demand is going to go down. And I want you to be thinking when you see that they pulled demand forward, which makes you start to believe that perhaps the second half of this year for some industries, for some sectors, for some businesses, it's not going to look anywhere near as good. You know, And here's another analogy. I mean, think of it as you go to a buffet, right? And you're like, oh man, this is great. And you eat and you're full, right? And then all of a sudden they put something new out, something that you didn't know they're going to put out, something you really want. You're like, oh man, I got to get some of that. And so you go and you get a little bit more and you're like, okay, I'm done. And then they put another new thing out and you're like, oh man, I can't leave without having some of that. And you do that a few times and finally you leave and you're like, man, I'm not going to eat for a week. I'm so full. That's the question is, are consumers so full, so stuffed because they consumed so many things? They spent all these stimulus checks and bought all this stuff during, you know, the shutdown and during, you know, due to the stimulus checks. Are they tapped out? Did they already buy all the stuff that they were thinking about and even the stuff they weren't thinking about? Because at some point, the thing that we need to really be wondering is, when are people going to have to start paying on their bills again, their mortgages, their rents? and, you know, their utilities, all the things that they're behind on, they're going to have to start paying on at some point. And that's going to take a lot of money out of this discretionary and non-discretionary. Well, it technically is non-discretionary, but it's going to pull some of that demand away. We'll talk about probably more of that next week. I've got some articles to share with you on that. All right, let's take a look at the CPI chart. So again, just, you know, as you see earnings, look for, you know, future demand, and then we'll see if maybe this pent-up demand will indeed go bust. So this was sent in by a fan. What he did is he took the month-over-month CPI, and so you see the actual numbers, and he said, let's just run a static estimate and see where the year-over-year rate of change goes. And he said, look, he said, based on these estimates that, you know, he thought, well, you're pretty close on your prediction in April, but he said it looks more likely that we'll see a peak in May. Of course, he did quantify that is it will depend on the month over month. If the month over month goes down, then that's possibly April will be the peak. But I thought this was really thought provoking and really well done. And I appreciate that fan for sending that in. So let's take a look at the economic data. We'll go back to Tuesday, and we can see out of Germany, producer prices year over year went from 1.9 to 3.7. So you're seeing inflation now come out of the factory sector. Why are you seeing that? Two factors. Think of the weaker dollar, or sorry, the stronger dollar against the euro. And what's the big one? Supply chain. So we're seeing a lot, you know, higher commodity prices, supply chain issues that are causing problems there and driving producer prices up. And we're going to start hearing more and more producers trying to pass that on to consumers. The question is, can consumers afford it? I don't think they can. So that will also be a negative to consumption, you know, if prices go up. Well, they're going to go up if consumers can't afford them. How about Redbook? The year over year, I don't even know that. For some reason, I guess they stopped printing the month over month for maybe until it gets back to normal. Year over year is up following the retail headline retail sales report. So we know that there's, you know, been demand there, but there's also a low point from the pandemic. Let's move on to producer prices in South Korea, up from 2.1 to 3.9. So again, we're seeing, you know, prices come out of the factory up kind of everywhere around the world. The issue isn't can prices go up out of the factory. The issue is can they pass it on? And here's some interesting data. We go to Great Britain and let's take a look. They have PPI input, so prices going into the factory, and PPI output, effectively what the factories are getting. So this is really interesting because of the producer price index, if you're wondering, it doesn't match up, you know, directly with the consumer price index. There are pieces of the PPI that will show up in the CPI, but it's not like one for one. So this is really interesting to see if they're able to pass this on. So going into the factory, producer prices went up from 0.9 to 1.3%. And looking at the output, right? So you see they're up 1.9. So this is interesting. The prices are rising coming out of the factory. Of course, the question again is, can they pass this on? So there's higher costs inside the factory, higher costs coming into the factory. Very interesting to see if this can get passed on. I'm not sure that it is. Let's take a look at consumer price index. Again, that you can't match this up with producer prices, but again, just looking at the general rate of change, CPI is only up from 0.4 to 0.7. So input prices coming in, output prices are coming out higher. Not sure it gets passed on. Not sure at all. How about the mortgage applications? Finally up 8.6% after week after week after week after drop. And the big jump is in refinances. I'm going to bet, I don't have any data to back this up, that there's going to be an increase in cash out refis. Why? Because people are going to be thinking that their jobs aren't coming back. I mean, they're seeing it now. They're going to pull equity out of their house and use it as a bridge. I bet you that's what's going on here. I don't think they're running out buying jet skis and all that stuff for the summer. That's my hunch. I don't think they are. So how about crude oil data? Inventories were up about 600,000 barrels against a 3 million expected drop. It didn't really seem to hurt the price of oil too much today at all. Distillates. Now, when you see distillates, think jet fuel and diesel fuel. Now, why does this matter? Because when the economy is reopening, when the supply chains are humming, when people are traveling, when there's commerce going on, you want to see demand for distillates. So it was down 1 million barrels. I think we'd want to see more, but that was still a decent number. And how about gasoline inventories? They actually went up slightly, although expectations said they should have been up more. And obviously, gasoline is going to be more consumer-driven than anything else. How about today's 20-year bond auction? This was met with really strong demand. In fact, if we look at the bid to cover, it was over a six-month average. If you look at the low bid, it was actually at zero. The 20-year hasn't been too popular, but all of a sudden, domestic demand was up, and that was a good sign. And what happened with the bond market as a result of that? Well, what did we see? Well, take a look at TLT, the largest traded long-term treasury bond ETF, closed over its 50-day moving average. If you watch the Sunday night chart show, you know we've been talking about how momentum has been building here. How about yields from the, or how about the yields? In the reverse perspective of that, we see they closed below their 50-day moving average, starting to form a topping pattern here. You're really looking to see a breakdown, say below 2.17%, kind of validate this out as a topping pattern. What's interesting to me is you also see a similar pattern in small caps, which rallied up to their 50-day moving average, also looking at a topping pattern. Let's check out crude oil. I guess it did. Wow. When I looked this morning, it actually, I was thinking crude oil here when I mentioned that just moments ago, but it looks like, wow, it failed to hold into that supply zone, is back below its 50-day moving average. So anyways, that will be our show for the day. I appreciate your likes, appreciate your subscribes. I think we'll have the Money Multiplier Monetary Base Data either Friday or next week. We'll go over that. I'm really curious to see, you know, is this inflation transitory as I believe it is? I want to see where the money multiplier is at. I'm really curious about that, but we'll take a look at that probably next week. Anyways, thanks for being fans, and I will see you on Friday for the Macro Show. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investor or other advice. Serial is not to be construed as recognition or solicitation by a selling security financial instrument or to participate in any particular trading strategy. Serial was prepared by Steve Van Meter or personal capacity. Opinions expressed in this video that I do not reflect the Atlas Financial Advisors Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.